Welcome to another edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. I'm Go Power Cat publisher Tim Fitzgerald, and welcome back to what's turned into my favorite podcast we do, at least for now. And Ryan Gilbert takes the helm again today as he continues to work his way through the new Kansas State basketball staff. Now, if you remember at the end of last week's episode, when he spoke to Luke Smith, one of the young guys on the staff, he asked him, who should I do next? And, well, this was his answer. Phil Cunningham, the veteran coach, one of them, that is on Casey Alexander's new staff. Now, Phil Cunningham is very familiar with Kansas State in many ways. He understands the history, but his Louisiana Monroe team played in Bramlage last season and played pretty well, losing just by 9. It was one of the early indications that something wasn't quite right with Jerome Tang's final team. But it's time to move on, and that's what we're doing with Fighting Ever Fighting. And Ryan Gilbert's conversation with new Kansas State assistant basketball coach Phil Cunningham.
K-State men's basketball assistant Phil Cunningham. And you know what, Phil? I'm going to start with this. We had Luke Smith on last week, and the age gap between you and Luke is pretty large, isn't it?
I'm the veteran for sure on the staff. Me and Coop. I think I got Coop by a few years, though.
What's it like being the old head on staff? I mean, the younger guys probably come to you and John for a lot of advice, right?
Well, it's been good, you know, because with John and I, we've been doing this a long time, and we're not any smarter than anybody else. We've just seen a lot more as you get older, but it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed being around, you know, the youth of this staff, and I thought Coach did a really good job of balancing the staff out in that sense, and I'm just you know, blessed and fortunate to be a part of it.
Do you find yourself, I wouldn't say keeping your mouth shut, but, you know, you just came from being a head coach. You've got head coaching experience. Now this is Casey's program. Do you take a back seat, or is your voice, you know, always welcomed from Casey?
Well, I think everyone's voice is welcome from Casey. He's been terrific in that sense. Started in recruiting in the portal. It was very obvious from the moment we all came together that he values everyone's opinion and does a really good job of making everybody feel like they're part of it and empowering each member of the staff. And so it started there and hadn't stopped since. But I've been an assistant for most of my career. So one thing, when you've been a head coach, I think it helps you know how to be an assistant even better. Not that the head coaching experience makes it that big a difference for an assistant, but it does give you a unique perspective. And so I know one thing when you back to your question about hearing your voice and everything. One thing is you just got to keep moving, and the more voices are being heard, sometimes it slows things down. So I just try to pick and choose when I feel like I need to have some input.
Phil, we were talking before we got started here. You're struggling at, you know, finding a place to live in Manhattan. That's a separate story, but just overall, the Little Apple, what has been your thoughts on this place?
Well, I've enjoyed it so far. It's been good to be out and about, and you know, when we had all the visits with COVID, not COVID, I don't know where I got that. When we had all the visits with the portal, I was thinking about COVID earlier today. But
when we don't want to talk about that on here.
No. When we had all those visits, then it allowed us to see, you know, all the different restaurants in Aggieville and downtown and all those scenes. So that was really right off the bat, man. That gave us a good impression of Manhattan and what it's all about. And so now that we've been there for a couple months, just moved around a lot. I've really enjoyed it. I spent 13 years in Starkville, so I thought there would be some similarities, and there are. It's a little isolated, but it's similar to Starkville in the sense that everything in this community revolves around a university, and within a university, most of the times, you know, it revolves around athletics, and football and men's basketball always stand out. So it's been a pleasure to try to figure out the lay of the land a little bit in Manhattan.
Did you? I know you're tight with Frank Muschelli. Did you get some Words of wisdom from him before you, you know, came here to Manhattan. He was an assistant here, for those who don't know.
Yeah, Frank really enjoyed it here, and he lived at the Legacy downtown, right there close to Aggieville. I didn't want to live that close to Aggieville, but don't do it. Don't do it. And then, you know, and Frank's he's a faith guy like I am, so I asked him, said, "Hey, where'd you go to church?" And he helped me, you know, with that a little bit. But yeah, Frank really enjoyed his time here, and of course we played out here last year, so he and I talked about that a lot.
All right, I feel obligated. I got to ask, favorite, you know, restaurant that you found so far?
Well, Wes and I went to So Long Saloon and got a good burger down there during the NBA playoffs. That was good. We spent a lot of time at Wine and Dive and enjoyed that. But now Sean would disagree with me on this, but because Sean's a New York guy and, you know, he has to prove anything with relates to pizza. I like AJ's Pizza. So I have to talk to Sean about that, see if I get his approval on that one. But I like the wings and pizza there.
I need to ask Sean about Nico's. Have you been there yet?
I haven't. I've heard that name, but I haven't been there yet.
That's probably your best Italian option in town, which ironically it's in Aggieville, but maybe a little more, I guess, I wouldn't say nicer, but upscale than your typical bar in Aggieville.
Okay. I need to hit it.
You got a lot of places you got to check off the list, don't you?
Yeah, we've seen them all down in Aggieville. You know, when you try to find a parking spot down there, as you know, and I can imagine what it's going to be like when the students come back and football season's going on. That was a good time just walking around down there. And it was good for recruiting because there seemed like whenever we had recruits in, there was always a good atmosphere down there.
Yeah, you mentioned Mississippi State and the similarities there. I mean, college town, right? Everything revolves around football and basketball. Just how much has this community kind of, I wouldn't say represent, you know, Starkville, but I mean, this is kind of the same type of deal, isn't it?
Very similar. The thing that stands out right off the bat, I didn't know Manhattan would be this big. I mean, it's 54,000 when the students are here, and Starkville is not that big. So there's more going on with commerce and it seems to be just in general some more money out here and obviously more people, but a lot of similarities. And everywhere you go, it's all about K-State. Where down in Starkville, it was the same thing about Mississippi State. And they want to win. You know, they want to win so bad. And I sense that here. Which as a coach, you want to be somewhere like that.
SEC is different now than, you know, probably was when you were there. And, you know, conferences change, but the experience playing in a Power Four, or I guess Power Five, it would have been back then. How valuable can that be for you to bring to this staff?
Well, it's just, we were there 13 years, and at Mississippi State, it's one of those places where if you're winning really in anything outside of baseball, you're overachieving. And I say that, you know, with all due respect. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so we had a great run at Mississippi State, and so I saw how the foundation was laid, and I saw how the consistency that we had there in winning. I was a big part of all that. I saw it all from the ground stages and saw it through to the end. And we had a great run there. And so when I look at here now, we're starting out new and here at K-State with Casey and just the experience I had there, I think will help from time to time here because there are so many similarities when you start talking about trying to compete in the Big 12, just like we did. We try to compete in the SEC.
Has Manhattan been a little bit of a culture shock? And I say this because you look at your resume in terms of coaching. I mean, you're in Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, right? Like, you're kind of really far up north compared to those schools.
Yeah, I spent 2 years at James Madison early in my career. And outside of that, I've been pretty much in the South. I mean, I consider Kentucky the South, and I spent 5 years at Western Kentucky but for the most part, you know, in the deep South, and it hadn't been that big of a culture shock. This is my first time being out living in the Midwest like this. And I see a lot of similarities to where I've been along the way. Just seems like hardworking people, good people. Everywhere you go, people are friendly. I see a lot of similarities to everywhere I've been. Now, the thing that stands out about the weather is they told me this from the start. And I said, the wind's always blowing. And they said, I'll get used to that. It's going to be like that year round. So it'll be interesting to see when the winter months come what it's like. But I've really enjoyed it so far, and I think me knowing a lot about K-State ahead of time, just from the particularly from the athletic, you know, standpoint, I'm a big college football guy, so I saw what happened here from a distance in the Bill Snyder era, you know, particularly the first run, what happened here. So I know, you know, before I ever set foot out here or had a chance to come out here, I knew it was all about when you win at K-State is because you're out working people and you're out toughing people and you're just gritty and you know, won't take no for an answer and just fight to the end. So I knew all that coming out here just from following, you know, K-State football and basketball all these years.
You excited to get out to Bill Snyder Family Stadium this fall and, you know, take some recruits there, show them how it's really done?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I did, man. I got two good seats. They did the new seats where I think they're going to be in purple. Do you know what the little section I'm talking about in the corner? Mm-hmm. Where you're going to have your own access to your own. All the club seats were sold out, so I couldn't get in there. But I had a chance to get in those. All I know is they're purple seats, and you have access to your own concession stand. But it's a really good angle, so I got two seats there. I'm really excited about football season.
Good deal. You've seen how to construct a roster as an assistant. You've constructed your own roster as a head coach. You know, with Casey Alexander, what did you learn and what was impressive about the way that he went about spearheading the process of putting this roster together in a very, very quick amount of time?
Yeah, Ryan, the one word I use over and over when people ask me to like describe what it was like those first couple of weeks, and the one word I keep going back to is just efficient. I mean, everything that Casey did was efficient. I mean, we didn't waste time. You can't waste time in the portal anyway, but he took it to another level that I hadn't seen before. And it allowed us to put this roster together quickly. And now when you look back in hindsight, I think there are so many positives that came from taking that approach and just being, you know, we got done quick, right? We were probably done before. I'd say we were done before 75% of the teams in the country.
Yeah.
And had our roster together. And I've seen the positive effects of that as we've moved through, you know, summer training so far. But I just, you know, the good thing was Coach brought a lot of guys from Belmont. So you had a core group of coaches, starting with Casey, who knew what they wanted and knew what fit their system. And I look back now, again, hindsight is 20/20, but I look back now and I look at some of the decisions they made in terms of personnel, and I'm like, man, they got it right on that one. They knew what fit, and man, they got it right. Because you're also balancing, you know, how much money you spend, you know, in rev share too in the entire market. So I saw the efficiency, but now seeing it on the court, I just think Coach did a tremendous job of putting together a roster that fits the way he wants to play and the way, you know, he's had tremendous success playing that way.
You've known Casey for a while. When did that start?
Well, back when he was an assistant under Coach Bird at Belmont and I was an assistant at Mississippi State under Coach Sansbury, we would always go to Orlando. Back then, Orlando was the site of the AAU Nationals. So at the end of the July recruiting period for about a week, all the teams, it didn't matter if they were Adidas, Nike, Under Armour, whoever, they would come to Orlando for the AAU Nationals. And I went down there every summer, and Casey went down there every summer. And I recruited West Tennessee real hard at the time, and he was always, you know, recruiting Southern kids. And we just always seemed to end up at the same games. Then on top of that, my parents are both Belmont grads. My dad played basketball and baseball at Belmont. My mom was a cheerleader at Belmont. So we had that connection. So we immediately connected off a couple of things. We just seems like for, I don't know, 10 straight years, we would be in Orlando together and catching up on everything. So we spent a lot of time together down there. And then when I was the head coach at Troy and he was the head coach at Lipscomb, we would meet in Birmingham every year when they started letting you scrimmage other Division I schools. We would meet in Birmingham, bring both our teams there and scrimmage every fall in early October. And so we did that for 4 or 5 years and just always stayed in touch with him. You watch his programs from afar and the success he's had, but got to know him on a personal level, dating all the way back to recruiting down in Orlando.
When you're in the coaching world, I mean, there's connections galore and you know so many people. So I feel like it's always kind of maybe in the back of your mind that you might end up working with somebody. But did you ever envision you and Casey, whether you're the head coach or he's the head coach, you know, working together?
Well, absolutely. And I thought, you know, he's one of those guys. I mean, Ryan, coaching is crazy sometimes. I mean, when you get those mid-major jobs, you know, you either win and get out in 4 or 5 years, or in 4 or 5 years they give it somebody else a shot. And Casey's one of those guys where he was so close to getting out. I mean, somebody should have plucked him a long time ago. I mean, he just shown what he could do. I mean, talking about taking Lipscomb to the, I think they went to the final of the NIT that 1 year with that team. Then the year before that, or the next year, they went to the NCAA tournament. And then he goes to Belmont, took over. Are you talking about a challenging situation following Rick Byrd at Belmont? Yeah. I mean, what he did there, and immediately, I think, and then COVID year, they won the tournament. So they were going to the NCAA tournament, had a team that could have beaten somebody. So he's been on the verge of making this move for a long time, and it's really been overdue. And you know, and I give Gene Taylor credit for being the one who pulled the trigger and got him here at K-State. And so just me knowing Casey and knowing what kind of person he was from spending so much time with him, in my mind, I always had it, man, if I would love to be on his staff, because I just saw how he did things and I knew how he recruited and knew how he built his rosters. And as a coach, you look and say, okay, I'll look at his situation and say, you know, your day-to-day life, in all likelihood, it's going to be pretty good working for Casey Alexander. And 2 months in, I can tell you it is.
This might be kind of a loaded question, but the evolution of the game the last 5-10 years, it's really changed. How have you been able to, adapt with the times? And how have you seen Casey Alexander and the way he's running this program adapt with the times?
Well, I see myself as a lifelong learner. I'm always trying to get better at whatever it may be on the floor, recruiting, whatever it may be. I just think if you stop, I always use the terminology, if you stop looking in the mirror, you're going to stop growing. And so I've always tried to self-evaluate and continue to evaluate. But back to your point, the game has changed dramatically. And I can go back and look at how when we were playing against Casey's teams at Lipscomb and I was at Troy, I look back at how he was playing now, and there's some similarities, but there's a lot of, you know, they've evolved a lot since then, you know, since 6-7 years ago. And so you can tell he's always been a guy that wanted to space the floor and take advantage of skill and IQ and shooting for the basketball. I just think they're doing it a little different way than he was when I was really following him when he was at Lipscomb in his early years at Belmont. And he's certainly going to be a guy who's never going to stop learning himself. I see how much he puts on these young assistants he has, how much trust he has in those guys, and they're really smart guys and know the game well, and they're on the cutting edge of everything. And I just think he's going to be one of those guys that you'll never say about Casey Alexander, he got lost and the game's passing by. That's not going to happen with him. I can see that for sure.
Phil, we've had a couple people on our site maybe want some more information, so to speak, about the type of player that you guys want to get. You know, you hear any of the coaches talk about, well, you know, we're going to recruit the high school ranks. We're going to go after these guys, but it's got to be the right fit. They've got to be the right type of player to bring in our program. Obviously, the right type of person as well. I think everybody's on board with that, right? You got to get the players that you want for your program. But walk us through what the type of player that you guys are really trying to bring into this program.
Well, the things that stand out, the obvious things are the skill level, the offensive skill. I mean, just the ability to shoot the ball. There's not a position on the floor that coach doesn't want to have somebody who can shoot the ball. It's not like we say, okay, some people say, well, our center doesn't need to be able to shoot the ball. Well, we want our center to be able to shoot the ball and have skill and be able to pass and make good decisions. And so I think those things stand out immediately, just the smart players, the high IQ player, the skill player. But the next couple of things is you maybe don't think about as much as on the surface, and this is a little below the surface, but you know, I can see that Casey really wants length at every position. If you look outside the point guard position for us, we've got good length everywhere. And now that I've seen him on the court, what he's done, the way he teaches defense and the defensive approach to everything, I can see the value of length to that. So if you look at our team, I think it will get taller and longer as the years go by, but I think we've got good length on this team. And then the thing that stands out that goes back to my point about day to day is man, high character guys. He wants guys who are going to take care of their business day to day. Just going to come ready to go every day. You know, just the consistency. And usually when you have character, you're going to get those attributes. And now, especially after being watching him in practice and how he runs things day to day for a month, that's so important. And I think, you know, the staff has done a terrific job of getting high character guys in here in year one.
I asked Luke about this, but the new 5 for 5 rule, maybe you can touch on, does that change the way you go about, you know, building that roster and what a freshman might want to expect for himself as a year one player?
Ryan, I think the entire model has changed. I think there's certainly going to be freshmen at every level who exceed expectations. There's going to be those high level guys that go to Duke and Kentucky and places like that, that are expected to play from day one, Arkansas, who are expected to play and will play. But I think for the most part, when you add a fifth class, it's just harder for a freshman to get on the floor and be productive. And again, there are going to be examples all over the country at every level where it still happens. But when you add that fifth class, I just think there's just so much value that has to be placed on experience. I mean, the experience wins. You can still win young. I mean, the Duke's not going to change how they do it. John Calipari at Arkansas is not going to change how he does it. But if you look around the nation, and particularly in college basketball, I mean, you see coach after coach after coach who's traditionally relied on high school recruiting, who's moving the focus to portal recruiting and getting older guys. And I think that'll be our approach now. Now, coach wants to get some young guys in here and get development. Because this is certainly going to be a development program, but you have to be smart, you know, as a coaching staff, the way you build your roster, to make sure you're not too young.
You mentioned the experience. Who have been maybe some of the leaders on this team throughout the summer? You know, guys who are going to step up and be that alpha.
Well, you know, Brandon Rechsteiner as a point guard, he leads by example. He's in the gym as much as anybody I've ever been around. Ever in my 30-year career, every time you turn around, he's in the gym. So naturally, when he's your point guard and you're and the leader, so-called coach on the floor, when you've shown that example and you've set that tone, you're going to earn the respect of the guys. So he's done that, and then I look at guys and say, okay, who's consistently brings it every single day, and a guy that jumps out to me is Jaden Shute. Coach had some meetings with the guys last week, and I was in a meeting with Jaden, and I said, man, only thing I have to say is I just want to praise you for the consistency you've shown. You have a professional mindset, and he should. He's in year five. Look where he's been. He spent 2 years at Duke. He spent 2 years in a really good Virginia Tech program, and he looks like it. He looks like that guy, and he comes every day, and he comes to work. So those two guys have stood out to me just because of their consistency. Now, as a group, man, they've been consistently consistent with their work ethic, with their commitment to competition. The thing I've seen about Coach, man, he loves competition in practice. And I can tell you, Ryan, players love that. They love to compete in practice. And we're going to do some drill work and some skill work. But, man, for the most part, we're in there competing in practice. And players love that. So you see – right off the bat, this summer, 4 weeks in, you see where that level of competitiveness is because we see that they have an opportunity to show us every day.
A couple of guys on the last season's roster were European. Obviously, one of those, the only guy that stuck around is Andre Kostic. So, you know, K-State fans, this isn't going to be anything new to have some Europeans in Manhattan. I know you've got some background, some experience with the overseas players. How much of you know, obviously Timo and Andre, but just moving forward in the years to come in this program, how much of an impact can the overseas guys have?
Well, I'm heading over to Europe in a couple of weeks for some of the European championships over there. And I can tell you right now, I mean, my main selling point, probably the most effective thing I can do while I'm on this trip is communicate with the agents over there, because that's how recruiting, particularly in Europe, you know, you go through the agent. You kind of identify the player and you go through the agent. But I can tell you right now, I'm telling these agents, and I already thought this coming in, but now after seeing it for a month, and I'm gonna say, man, you guys need to put your players in here. You need to take some of your best players and lay them right in here, because when you're talking about a European player, Timo's a great example. He went to Miami, you know, University of Miami, a really well coached program, had a really good season. Went to the NCAA tournament. Timo played 15 minutes, but the style of play, particularly offensively, wasn't great for him. And he probably made a lot of money going back there, and would have been in a great location and all that. And funny story, he said when coach asked him, he said, "How's everything going?" He says everything here is better than Miami except the weather. He said it's hard to beat that weather down in Miami. But Timo, he's a great example of a guy who's in a system that's going to be so much more accommodating to his skill set and the way he plays. Then probably where, and that's no knock on Miami. They really had a great team, and it will be moving forward. It's just some situations are better for than others for a certain type of player. And I think for a European player, this is going to be one of the best programs in the country at the highest level for those guys to play in. And I'm gonna every agent I see, I'm gonna be clear with that. It's like, man, you need to, and they know that already. That's a good thing. Like Timo's agent. His U.S. agent draws, and he knew he had went to school at University of Chattanooga while coach was at Lipscomb, so he knew about it already. So they already have a general feel, but I'm gonna just hammer it home even more. Like you need to put some players in here, because this system, what's the expectations and the skill set required to really, I think, be a really good player and get on the floor and really get some things done in this program. Man, they fit what those guys do so well.
Yeah, Andre and Timo can really be your selling point there. Look at what Andre does last season to now. He's in more of an expanded role, and he's hopefully, you know, knock on wood, having a better season. And Timo, you know, being more than maybe just that sharpshooter. So, yeah, I mean, Kansas State, I think everybody would be on board with that. And you look at some of the best, you know, Illinois, Brad Underwood, an K-State fans followed that team pretty closely. A lot of international flavor on that team.
Oh, they were loaded with international guys, and
it wasn't just a flavor; it was like, oh, the whole handful of that.
No, it was they made a dramatic shift, and of course they had the young kid that blew up too, that made a big difference, in the American kid. But I can see it happening too. And you're right; those two guys will be a living example. Now, Andre, he's got to make some adjustments. He's got to mature on and off the court a little bit. But he has a special ability to shoot the ball, as everyone, you know, here knows. And if he'll just lock in and get better at the other things that matter, then he has a chance to be a really good player. But he's got to do those things. Timo, I mean, I think Timo has a chance to really, really take that next step in his career starting this season here.
So does Phil Cunningham really care about the agents and going overseas and recruiting, or does Phil Cunningham just want to go to Europe and have a vacation? Let's be honest.
Well, unfortunately, it's not much of a vacation. They start playing in the morning, they play all day. And now the latest thing, I don't know how much you keep up with the big thing coming out of Europe in the last few days, is no air conditioning. And Ryan, I can tell you, I've been over there. I've stayed at hotels when they don't have the air conditioning on. So I'm hoping that the air conditioning is on over there, because they've got a heat wave going on over there that they hadn't had in a while. But it's a good time. I've always enjoyed it, because think about this, Ryan, when you're playing, and I've had international players my whole career, and I've always talked to them about this, but when those guys are playing for their national team. So for example, Pop's playing with his national team right now. I mean, I think they're playing tonight, and I've talked to him about this before he went over there. And when they're playing for their national team now, like when they're playing here at K-State, man, they're going to be all in, and it's going to be a great experience. But nothing is like playing for your national team. We're experiencing it now with the World Cup, you know, in soccer. And so from the moment I first started going over there, I really enjoyed it, because they do the national anthem for both teams. And just to watch those kids, the pride they have in their national anthem, and just the joy they have playing together. It's a really fun environment because when you're representing your country, and that's what I always go to. I go to the European Championships. When you're representing your country, man, it's all about, and nothing matters but winning to those guys. So I've just really enjoyed it. It's a good time in the summer because sometimes you can go to these AAU events and they've got four games in a weekend. And sometimes winning isn't valued quite that much. But when you go over there, now it's all about winning because they're representing their country.
Phil, appreciate your time. Other than going over to Europe, what else you got cooking this summer? Is it just kind of hanging low in Manhattan and doing some recruiting stuff?
Yeah, you got to find. I got to find some place to live. My real estate agent, Lori, she's getting. Luke and I are both struggling here, so she's getting tired of me and Luke. But we've got to find something real quick. So we can't be permanent residents of the Candlewood Suites.
At least you're not trying to get ready for a wedding the way that Luke might be, right?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Luke's probably a train wreck right now, but he's handled it well. Luke's a cool character. You probably don't remember him. His dad probably named him after Cool Hand Luke. You ever see that movie?
Too young for it, Phil. I'm sorry.
Go watch that one. Best movies ever. Cool Hand Luke.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck out in Europe. Good luck recruiting. And in the meantime, I'm going to go watch some movies, okay?
There you go. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Gills, for sitting in again and another great interview. He's getting kind of good at this. Coach Cunningham, I'm looking forward to meeting him. I have not met him in person. I don't remember even coming across him other than seeing him on the sideline last year and didn't really think too much about it. But now he's at K-State. He's fired up to be at K-State. And as I mentioned in the open, boy, does he understand the history of this place and the job that they have at hand. That's it for this episode of Fighting Ever Fighting. We'll be back next week, maybe me, probably Gills, with another discussion with a new member of Kansas State's basketball staff.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.